Okay, everybody, on tonight's show, we have Rick Moore and Yarmo, both photographers from Playboy.
I know you see her all over town, and you might think she's the finest thing around, but let me tell you something you should know. That woman, she's just a show. She ain't no good for you. Lord, she ain't no good for you. She'll chew you up, she'll spit you out, take all your money and put you down. Just when you think you can't take no more, just say goodbye and walk out the door. She'll make you think she's in love with you, break your heart in two. But don't call me when you get to feeling low. I tried to tell you she's just for show. She ain't no good for you. Lord, she ain't no good for you. She'll chew you up, she'll spit you out, take all your money and put you down. Just when you think you
everybody. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. Today I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing good, Jeff.
How about you, Yarmo? How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Absolutely wonderful. Now that I'm on the radio with you.
Cool. Okay, Yarmo, tell everybody a little bit about your past, you know, like where you came from, how you got here, and a little bit about your past leading up to this.
Okay, my name is Yarmo Pohjaniemi, and I am originally from Finland. That's a country up north in Northern Europe, and it is exactly the opposite of Florida, where I reside right now. Where I came from originally, it is a smaller place and a different rounds than here in the United States. I was always in a visual business, and before I became a photographer, I was in the fashion industry as a model in the front of the camera. I did some hairdressing. I owned a couple hair salons as well, and done all kinds of things. And I end up here in Florida, between the palm trees, and I'm a photographer today, and I like taking pictures.
Well, how did you, what year did you move to the United States?
You know what? I was in the fashion industry, and I had an agency in Paris, and they had a sister agent in New York City. It was Zoli Models, and they requested from Zoli Models that I should come to New York for the season as a model, and so I did. I checked out a little bit New York, and I'm still here.
Okay, so you moved to New York, then you moved down to Miami, is that right?
Yeah, New York was my first place where I moved to. That is absolutely correct.
So how long did you model in New York?
Well, I was going between Europe and New York for pretty much 10 to 12 years, back and forth all the time. If we put all the time together, it is pretty much between the Europe and United States, 7-8 years probably.
That's in modeling. That's a long time.
That's a long time. Guys can last, especially at that time of the era, there were a handful of models only, male models.
Right.
Right now, it's a different story, and it's a different market. Calvin Klein decided to make this campaign, let's put the average guys making models, and that actually modified the whole trend and changed everything. So there were all of a sudden, there were hundreds of models in the castings. Now, I remember there was a gig in Africa. We were like 5 or 6 guys, and the next gig was in New York City for some catalog. And 3 of those guys that were in that job in Africa were in that same gig in New York. So it was a small group of guys that were actually working. But right now, it's totally different. You go to casting, you have hundreds of guys and girls there, you know, looking for a gig. So it's different.
Is it because of nutrition or just a bunch of beautiful people sprung up?
Actually, the industry changed. Like I said, Calvin Klein actually had made an ad campaign and started using more average people and finding more grungy-looking guys. And it doesn't mean that more than industry changes as the time goes by. And different styles were introduced to the fashion, and all of a sudden you have a whole different journal of models coming out from Woodworks, and it seemed to work well. So.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I think, you know, we were kind of chatting about that, about how that affected your life, and you were able to basically watch a lot of photographers work and have a bird's eye view of, you know, how photographers lit, how photographers directed, all those things. And you and I met Bruce Weber during a Hawaiian Tropic thing, which is really funny and strange. But really great guy, and you met him actually modeling, and he encouraged you, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That is correct. I remember it was in New York City. I went to his studio, and there was a casting, and there were a lot of guys there. He's a famous photographer, and I remember there was, 40, 50 guys, perhaps, and he was doing a music video for Pet Shop Boys, and I don't remember what the name of the music video was. It must have been being boring or something like that. And I walked into the studio, and right away he says, "That's it. He's the guy I want." And I was like, "Me?" And it was his first moving picture gig that he ever did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was his very, very first one. And he made me kiss this girl and roll in the grass when a horse was going by. A great scene. I loved it every second of it.
That's for people who don't know, Bruce Weber is the classic photographer that has shot all the campaigns for Abercrombie Fitch for years and years and years. So all those big, you know, dynamic photos of a great-looking guy and a great-looking girl on a beach with a rowboat or anything like that. So Yarmo was one of those guys.
Something like that.
Well, that sounds fascinating. So how did you segue from the modeling career into photography? I mean, what was the incentive, or was it something you always enjoyed, or did somebody put a camera in your hand when you were young? Or
I put a camera in my hand myself. I remember when I was a little kid, maybe, 6, 7 years old, I saw my dad's cameras, and they were fascinating pieces, and I wanted to know what they do, but I never took a picture till I was probably, 16, 17, somewhere there, and I had a girlfriend, and I went to pawn shop and got ripped off. They sold me this camera, piece of crap with a huge lens, which was great. Back then, it was something that I thought that I had gold in my hands. I ran home. I told my girlfriend. I said, "Listen, take your clothes off, and I want to take some pictures." And she looked at me and she thinks I'm nuts. Well, clearly I was not, because, you know, we were same age and we were both underage, but I wanted to try something. I felt that there was a calling, and I wanted to take some pictures, but I wanted to take nude pictures. And it wasn't a sexual thing to me at all. I found it very beautiful and fascinating. Human form was something that it was really thrown right in front of my face. There was something that I had to try and capture. So I shot her maybe 4 or 5 rolls, and I ran the film to the local lab, and they developed it. And I was like a little kid in a candy store waiting to see the results. And when I got the film, all the film was black. There was nothing to it. And I was like, wow, looks like I'm not a good photographer after all. So that was my first like real impact into photography. And since that, I always carried a camera when I did modeling gigs all around the world and took some pictures. But I never took it so seriously. And I was like standing these photographers that I was traveling with and how they worked and how everything comes together, the production. I had a chance and capability to see how big jobs are done. And it always was fascinating, but I never had a moment that I was able to say, now this is what I'm going to do, until Bruce Weber says, okay, you're asking tons of questions. So guess what? Now it's time you to take the camera and start studying, and I'm going to give you some tips.
Well, let's talk about that in our next segment here. I was fascinated by the comment you made. You said when you were 16 years old, and the human form was so fascinating. I think to most boys when they're 16 years old, the female body is very fascinating also. And I don't, not for just from a photography standpoint, we're just saying, period. All right, we'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me, and I'm talking to Yarmo and Rick Moore. We'll be right back.
Why can't you love me no more?
Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore. We're talking to Yarmo from Miami. Before we left there, you were talking a little bit about, you know, your first shot you had with your first cameras with your girlfriend when you were 16. Now, I've heard this. I'm not for sure. But is sexuality, as far as nudity goes, different in Europe versus the United States?
Yeah, it's, you know, we cannot deny when a boy meets a girl, girl meets a boy. There's a, clearly a sexual thing going on as well, and morals and all that stuff. But, you know, the difference, what I experienced besides the sexualities was I found and discovered my dad's Playboy magazines at early age. And I look at the pictures and I open the spreads and I go like, wow, how beautiful. Not one time it affected me sexually. It was just like fascinating. How is it so beautiful? How can I be, I couldn't explain to myself, I want to be involved on this. But it mesmerized me how the human form was so beautiful. It was such a, like a dream situation somehow. And I just keep looking at it, staring at it. But I never knew that one day I'd be shooting for the same magazine.
Maybe that's the call to arms of Playboy photographers. It struck me pretty much the same way. I think most guys, it hits them a completely different way. But with me, I was looking at it. I was already a little bit into photography, and I was looking at it going, how did they do that? You know, how did they light that? Because at the time, I had no control whatsoever of lighting, and I was just amazed. But, you know, at the same time, I was amazed by National Geographic magazine and Old Life magazines and things like that. And I was just like, wow, you know, these guys are like, you know, masters.
And absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I remember looking at this one spread, and I go like, wow, she's so beautiful. And I look at my girlfriend, and I go, man, I need a new girlfriend. It wasn't my girlfriend's fault.
Oh.
It's not that the girl in the picture was any better. It's just the way it was lit.
Yeah.
And it was the way it was photographed. It was just mind-blowing. It was very, very, very different. And you know what? Here's another interesting topic I want to mention. It's the sexuality in Europe versus United States, for example. I'm not saying that sexuality is more advanced in Europe. It's perhaps a little more free and a freely spoken topic than here in the United States. And it's not a crime. Often here in the United States, sexuality is being brought as a dirty thing, and it's been tied to politics, politicians, this and that. Well, you know, French President Mitterrand was known that he's running escorts through his back door, and the public knew that. But it wasn't a big deal for a French population.
I remember that when everything was going on with Clinton here, and it was making newspapers, you know, covers around the world, it was known. My friend Pierre was like, everyone knows that Mitterrand has a mistress. Everyone knows that he sees people. We don't choose to put it on newspaper covers or on magazine covers.
Exactly. You know? It's not a crime, and it's been made to look like a crime. And nudity has become a dirty thing for many people. And you know what? Adam and Eva could actually porn naked. I think
in the United States, it's about money and cash. In other words, if people are all about it and want it, then our laws will find a way and make it a crime so attorneys can get paid a lot of money to get you out of a mess.
That is absolutely true. So it's a business.
It is. In other words, it's like, you know, all the victimless crimes in the United States. Oh, well, you do this. Well, we'll figure out how to pay $25,000 so you have to go to court and defend yourself.
Okay, so what about the Secret Service men in Colombia getting completely off the track? You don't think that was the first time something like that happened?
Absolutely not.
No, I think he just wanted a changing of the guard. Honestly, intuitively, that's what I felt like it was. In other words, it's not like he needed this at this time.
No.
No, he didn't need it, but I guarantee he goes to his wife and says, damn, why do they have to do it that way? I mean, they should have just, you know, be more careful or something. Who knows?
Right. Well, they're the not-so-secret service then.
Yeah. They're not-so-secret service. That is absolutely true. You know, I'm not into the politics a lot, but, you know, as a foreigner in this country, which is, by the way, a land of opportunities for many people, and that's also what brought me here in the first place, plus sunshine and a beautiful weather.
Right.
I've ended up in New York. That was my plan, but now I end up in Florida after I wised up a little bit more. But it is true that in this country you have so many opportunities, which is also true that we have opportunities in Europe. But the United States offers more starting points and more freedom that you can practice in Europe. When we're not talking about sex law, we're talking about business and opportunities to do different things. But at the same time, United States is one of the most old-fashioned civilized countries in the world because it is very conservative over here. And that's fine too. You just have to understand the society and work with the rules. And this is a great place.
Well, you were talking earlier about Bruce and... Yeah. What was his name?
Bruce Weber.
Yeah, Bruce Weber. Now, how did he influence you as far as getting you interested in becoming a photographer that later segued into shooting for Playboy and other magazines?
Every time I shot in any photographer, period, I was so fascinated seeing the cameras. I always look at the gear and ask them a bunch of questions, and I picked everybody's brain so much that it was kind of annoying for them. But, you know, I learned one thing that you need to ask questions. And if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So it's good to ask questions because you will learn. And Bruce was one of these photographers as well. And we kept in touch. And I asked him a bunch of questions. And he said one day, you know what? You should start exploring the world via viewfinder then. Because you seem to have a talent doing so. And you ask questions and you're really fascinated about it. It really gave me a lot of confidence. Like, man, that's it. Here's the calling right now. And since that, I never looked back.
Yeah.
And while, you know, that was actually also one of the things that changed my modeling career as a fashion model. I clearly lost an interest into the modeling at that point as well, because I was like, man, I can take pictures. I can do this. I can do that. Cool. Being a cloning hanger, it's pretty much type of a job that teaches you a lot. You get to travel a lot, but you want to have a kind of a meaning in a world instead of being a cloning hanger. I felt that, okay, we got to do something else here as well. Well, I certainly did other things as well during the same time. I was in Paris. I went to the hairdressing school and opened a hair salon and all kinds of stuff.
Was in Paris?
Say what?
That was in Paris?
Yeah, that's where I studied, actually, hairdressing, because I had some free time there, but I wanted to do modeling. I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to go to hair school and figure out if I can study as something different, and taking courses and all that stuff. Next thing, I'm in Finland and open this hair salon. I remember sitting in this chair, in this hair salon chair, in this storefront that I rented, and I decided to open a hair salon. I was looking at all this equipment. I spent a couple hundred thousand dollars in equipment, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing? But I was so deep into that time that I had there were no return. I opened this hair salon. And it started actually working really good. It became one of the most popular hair salons in my country. It was an interesting experience. Well, clearly, the fashion world pulled me back, and I was back on the fashion world doing all kinds of different jobs. You know.
Well, let's take a little break here. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf at WTFRadio.me, and I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo. We'll be right back.
So say your goodbyes, baby, because you know it's time for me to go.
Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo from Miami, Florida. Rick, we were talking about a little something when we were off the air over there for just a minute. We were talking about how his hair design experience helped him out.
Yeah, well, Yarmo and I were working together last week on a lighting diagram book, and I had no idea Yarmo had this background. And, you know, as a photographer, when I'm looking at a girl's hair, I'm just trying to clear the hair out of her face. I'll tell the hairstylist or makeup artist, hey, could you please get those hairs, you know, off of her lip or her eyelash or wherever they're stuck. Yarmo, I noticed we were doing this shot and the girl's hair was very, very well done. Mary did the hair and kind of had this Magic City motif, and it was really cool. And Yarmo goes over and he like really kind of flips it around and does this little thing really quick. And I'm like, wow, what was that? I was thinking that, like, I didn't even know this. We got in this conversation. I find out that he's like been an actual hairstylist, which to me isn't like, that's not even fair, you know, because I could just barely, you know, I have no idea what's going on with the hair. I'm just trying to get hairs off of her face. He can actually go over there and go, no, you know what? She needs to have more curl on this side. This needs to be straightened. Why don't you trim here? You know, like all kinds of stuff like that. I had no clue he had that knowledge.
Well, you know, to even things out, you got a hairy chest. So that's probably, you know, balance everything.
I don't know how that balances it out.
You know, to warn you ahead of time, I hear that from my hair experience, I learned that guys who have a hairy chest go bald in the future. So
okay.
That's true or not. But at least you have a place where to pick it up and transfer. You know?
Well, I get a hair transplant for my chest, yeah. I guess, when I get older.
So, I mean, it's clearly an advantage when you have a hair experience. You're not scared to stick your fingers in a woman's hair, on a model's hair, and, you know, rough it up a little bit. And that's exactly what modeling is all about. You've got to make that hair look flawless and make it fly and all these things. And when you're not a hairdresser or you don't have an experience, you feel like a handicap. I look at a lot of photographers in the shoots, they don't guide the woman's hair issues at all.
No.
The model does it itself, but what about if it doesn't look good? You just keep pressing the button. I'm not shy about it. No. You're going to go and rough it the feathers up a little bit and make it look fly. And I have an advantage. I'm not scared to tell the model, do this, do that, and stick my own hands on her hair and style it up a little bit.
Well, does
I have a stylist in a sense.
Well, does that make the model feel more comfortable when they know you have that knowledge?
You know, I normally don't tell them. And then when I do get close to them, I say, let me help you with the hair. I used to be a hairdresser. They go, really? And they are totally cool with that at that point on.
I think you've got to start wearing a button so that girls know. Like, it says, hi, I'm Yarmo. I was a hairstylist.
No. First thing to ask you, was I gay too? No, okay.
We know that's not true. I know your wife.
Yeah. So anyway, my wife actually works on my photo set as the makeup artist and the stylist. She's also a model. But she's a great hairdresser and makeup stylist. I don't know why it took me so long to give her that opportunity to style hair and do makeup on my set. I actually had an other makeup artist and a hairstylist at least for a year and a half, 2 years before I even gave my wife a chance. And she said, give me a chance and I'll show you how to blow this guy's socks off. And sure she did. and she's been doing the hair and makeup since.
Well, we know how many times like somebody says, oh, I'm really great at that. And from experience, we've been like, oh, it was not great. Mary is great. Mary's done. I've both shot Mary as a model, which she's fantastic. And I've had her on set for makeup and styling. She's fantastic at that. I'd say you pretty much lucked out.
Well, yeah, I'm lucky. I don't understand. Well, no, I do understand. Look at me. Come on. That's kidding. That's a joke. But listen, it is very rare that you get so many good things in a one package. I can call myself a family operation because of the fact that it's my wife and it's myself. Of course, my assistants and set builders, whatever we need in the photo shoots, that's a telephone outside help. But I have a permanent team, and my wife is actually the one who takes care of the hair and the makeup and works on the wardrobe and all the good stuff. It takes a lot of load off of me hiring an extra stylist. And sometimes you don't know the stylist or hairdresser or a makeup artist, and you don't know what to expect. It's good to work when you have somebody in your team, especially a hair and makeup person. You know what she's or he is capable to deliver. So there's no surprises.
Yeah, and she's supposed to be finding her sister for me, right?
Oh, is that so?
Does she
get
have a good sister?
You're number 6002 by now.
I thought I rated higher than that. When we were talking about Bruce Weber, I was going to jump into a story with that. I was sent by Playboy to Hawaiian Tropic, and I was photographing an upcoming playmate that was from Hawaiian Tropic, and I was also scouting for girls. And we had heard that Bruce Weber was on the island. Well, I had never met him. I just knew of him as a legendary photographer from New York. And I really honestly thought he would be like really have like tons of attitude, be very kind of uppity and snooty about fashion, these kind of things. So I was shooting this event, and me being me on that assignment, I was, you know, fairly aggressive on shooting it, and I'd put a chair over to one side, and I was standing on the chair shooting, and I heard he was there, and I looked over, and I saw, you know, this photographer with a couple of assistants. I was like, oh, that's got to be him. So I just kept shooting, and then I looked over, and I didn't see him anymore, and I brought my camera down in my hand to my waist, and I was standing on this chair, and it hit something solid, and I looked down, and his assistant was standing right next to me. They had seen that I had, like, the best position, came right next to me, and I clocked his assistant in the head with my motor drive, and I felt so bad, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, and the assistant was rubbing his head, and Bruce Weber was like, it's okay, and so we kept shooting, finished. Then I went into the lobby, and I saw him and Kevin Custer, and I spoke with him, and he could not have been nicer, more complimentary of Playboy-style lighting, just super, super great guy. And he said, look, if you're ever in New York, I want you to stop by Little Bear Studios, come by, see me, blah, 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 I'll show you around. And so the next time I was in New York, I stopped by. Super nice.
He's a very, very nice, down-to-earth guy. And you know what? There's a good saying, old saying, and I don't know if I can say this on radio, but A-holes take care of themselves sooner or later. And the guys that are nice, and these photographers that are really successful, they are actually pretty nice guys. I mean, I met lots of famous photographers in the world during my modeling days and in photography, both. And I realized that the majority of these people are really down-to-earth people. There's no ego problems. They know pretty much what's up, and they're very helpful. And Bruce is definitely one of those guys. I hope there were a lot more Bruces in my past when I was studying photography and trying to approach photographers from a learning point of view. And Bruce was totally open. He's like, listen, great, man. This is good. You should do something. And it gave me a lot of confidence to try the camera. And that time, you know, I also was involved a little bit in the music industry. And I owned a recording studio at some point, actually two of them. And I had these people, I hired these photographers to shoot album covers. And I look at the results they come up with. And these are photographers that have decent names. Look at this, that sucks. Pardon my French. So I said to myself, I'm going to shoot this stuff myself. Because I saw right away, okay, you know, this is not good quality stuff. So I'm going to make better than this. Which is also exactly the same way how I got my Playboy gig. And
how did that go?
You know what? I finally got enough chest on my hair. Not like you. You got a little hairy. Finally got a couple of hairs poking out there. And I decided to call Playboy's main extension number in Chicago office. And I said, the lady who answers the phone is the operator. He says, listen, I need to talk to somebody who's in charge of your photography in Playboy magazine. Okay. And this guy called Jeff Cohen, who was earlier day, in his early days editor at the Playboy magazine, and then he went to Playboy Special Editions. He picks up a phone. He normally doesn't pick up the phone.
Yeah, I know. Crazy is all that?
Exactly. And I explained my, my measly story to him, and I said, listen, I've done this, I've done that, I shoot fashion, and I love shooting girls, and I saw Playboy magazine in my dad's bathroom, and blah, 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 blah. He goes, well, okay, cool, so how do I help you? I said, you know what? I can do this better than you guys. All right. He says, tell me more. I said, okay, here. I see things differently. And I look at this pictorial you have. This should have light coming from there, this and that. And he says, you know what? Because you're so damn ballsy, I'm going to give you a chance here. You're going to shoot two girlfriends of yours on spec. You send me the film, and I'll let you know how much you suck.
That sounds like Jeff.
You got a feel, man. And that's the way it started. I shot two girlfriends of mine that I knew on spec, and I shot so much film that was ridiculous. I just wanted to make sure I got everything covered. Mm-hmm. I sent all the film to Chicago, and a couple weeks go by, I never heard anything. 3 weeks go by, nothing. And the end of the third week, he calls me, and without anything much more saying, but just, hi, this is Jeff. I've been looking at your film. How much you want for it? I was like, I started calculating in my mind. I didn't believe that he called me back, and I was like in heaven, and I was thinking like, I was thinking $1,100 would have been a great number. And he shoots me $3,800 flat for everything because I had so much film on so many scenes, and I was like, yeah, that's about right. And that's how it started. That's how it started, and I really got gung-ho about the whole thing, and I realized, okay, this is my calling. I can do this. I shot so many girls that he called me a couple times and he said, take it easy, man. It's okay. You don't have to send all this much film. So I was just really, really excited about the whole thing. And it took me about maybe 3 years, 3.5 years, close to 4 years, till things started to turn around really well instead of me paying everything on spec and just sending that. Jeff calls me one day and said, okay, from now on, we pay the locations and everything, all the stuff. We just have the people send the bills up here, and we'll take care of it. And that's when it really became easy, and it was the start of my Playboy career, and I climbed up further up from there on.
Yeah, yeah, and for people who don't know, like for me, myself as a Playboy photographer, watching Yarmo, watching his photographs, he was starting to really get under our skin. Because, you know, here we have an ice gig. We're shooting a girl in an ice place. He comes up with shooting a girl with, like, sparks filling the entire background. And I'm like, what the hell? How did he do that? And then the next thing is a girl playing drums in the middle of a rainstorm in a studio. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. But, you know, I mean, that's a lot of work there. Yarmo did really big productions. Then there's a girl on a roller coaster nude. Then there's a girl jumping out of a plane. And I'm like, okay. He has got to, like, start settling down here. This is getting, you know.
Those were fun days.
Well, let's take another little break here. That sounds very interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo.
She took our pictures off of the wall and ripped them to shreds. Took our pillow and sheets and the comforter off of our bed. She said, I don't know just where you've been, but I hope to God that I don't ever see you again. That was the happiest day. Just in case she got one of mine, but she didn't. I said, baby, you know you couldn't be more wrong. She just turned around and laughed as she said, so long. That was the happiest day of my life. That was the happiest day. Well, needless to say, now I'm free to do whatever I choose. Nobody out there nagging at me.
good times, reminiscing about the past. She said, I know now that I was wrong. I just turned around and laughed as I said so long. That was the happiest day.
Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo from Miami Beach, Florida. Before we left, we were talking a little bit about some of the unusual backgrounds and settings that you used in your photography, Yarmo. And Rick was talking about it from a competitive standpoint. It was making it a little uncomfortable for maybe some of the other photographers. Where did you get your inspiration and ideas about shooting the, you know, fantastic backgrounds that you were using that was different than everybody else?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to think. These things just flow out of my head, and some of them work and some of them don't work. But there seem to be more ideas coming out of my head than time allows me to accomplish. So I try to pick the right ones. I'm very fascinated about movie industry and movie sets and all kinds of cool stuff. And the good old saying, think different and try to be different somehow. And the world is such a beautiful place. There's so much calling and offering. You just have to pick the best ones. And the same goes with the background scenarios. I drive around, I look around, I jog around, and I see these ideas that's flowing out of my head. It's like, there. How do I make that happen? Oh, well, you can't, because it's some kind of beautiful neighborhood. You can't shoot there. So you have to create that in studio. So we create these things in the studio. I once built a whole pool about the 2 feet off the ground, and filled it up with water and built an office inside the pool. And everything was raining, sprinklers were going off and all that stuff. It was pretty crazy. But, you know, here's a very important thing that I want to bring it as a tip to non-photographers as well. It is worth it to go that extra mile and create something that people are going to stop and stare. And that's important. You have to do something a little bit different. Because otherwise, you'll never get noticed. You'll be just one in a line. Just because you buy a camera doesn't make you a photographer. It means that you would like to become one, perhaps. So you're testing your boundaries a little bit. A lot of people who buy a camera and want to be a photographer, they don't take that extra mile. They start taking pictures of the girl, and if somebody picks up them, great. If it not, then it not. It never will. It's like our director of photography that was here 2 weeks ago for a week in Miami, working with me. He says to me, what I really liked about you in your early days in Playboy, it is that you were different. How were you and how you created these things, and you were able to make models smile and giggle and bring that natural thing instead of a posing just over there, and that's it. Poses are clearly very important. But there was something different about it. And he said it wasn't even your lighting techniques in the early days, those came later. But it was your capability to run the show and get something special out of a model that mattered to him a lot.
See, for me, starting off early in my career, it was a while before you started, in that it was kind of stutter-stepped, where I was getting in trouble for trying different things because they wanted to stick to the Playboy style. And so I would do crazy things like fill the back of a Hummer up with water and bubble bath and shoot from a 20-foot ladder down on this girl in the back of a Hummer doing, you know. And so Jeff was like, you're my crazy guy. You know, you'll do all kinds of crazy stuff. But then at the same time, it was like, but we don't like it. We want you to shoot Playboy style, and that's what we do Playboy style. And then, you know, I kind of got tired of fighting that fight, and then you came along, and I was like, wow. And that's something I've always admired in your photography, is that I don't think you've ever given that up. You've always been like, how can I sneak in something a little bit crazy, you know, a little bit different?
You know how many times editor told me, I called the editor, I said, I got this great idea. Listen to this one. And then we put the girl there and we do this. We jump out of a plane at the 13,000 feet and do a perfect split. He says, are you out of your mind? he says, I don't want to hear anything more. Call me after the shoot. This is not a Playboy shoot. Call me after the shoot. You out of your mind? You think this will fly? Our legal department will be all over it in case, you know, it's a liability and stuff like that. So I said, okay, cool. I'll call you afterwards. So we did. We jumped out of an airplane. Girl Sons shoots out of an airplane from 13,000 feet. And that's a perfect split on a sunset. And there's a lake, Okeechobee Lake, right behind her. Ah, oh, what a beautiful shot. Everybody's falling 100 miles an hour at the same time. But what was beautiful, it is to push the envelope, being able to capture that shot while things are happening. It brings reality. And Marilyn Krobowski used to be the West Coast editor on Playboy, told me always, it has to be extremely believable. Otherwise, the shot, it's not there. And that's why I like it to do these things. It is to be a little different and being a little crazy about it. You know, you calm down when you grow up a little bit, you know. Everybody has a little era that like to try different things. But, you know, sometimes even right now, I get these loony ideas that I would like to try. But that's what creative minds do. Well, you have to go against people's rules sometimes because they're coming out of your head. That's what your creativity it provides you, you know? Does that make any sense?
Sure. There's two things that I want to bring up. One is there's a famous editor in the West Coast that I was afraid to ever work with. She scared me. I heard so many stories, and I just stayed away from that. And I worked out of the Chicago office. Yarmo worked with her, and I told him, and I remind him about this often, you have the ability to work with her because you're from Finland, and you can handle 24-hour darkness. And he did. But now we're kind of moving on to, Yarmo came up with this concept of Shoot the Centerfold, which is a group of veteran Playboy photographers teaching the lighting skills that we've all honed in our experience shooting for the magazine and whatnot. And you had a shoot, I don't know if it was your own shoot just on your own or involved with Shoot the Centerfold with the bubbles. That was right up your alley with your creative side.
Yeah, that was interesting, but I want to mention something about the Shoot the Centerfold, how it came along. It you know, when I was a younger photographer and I wanted to learn photography faster than I was learning, I reached a lot of these famous photographers and see if I can intern, or some of them I did intern, and I wanted to know more and faster than I was getting the information.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting anywhere. Nobody wanted to give me any information.
No, photographers that are established do not really want to give out that information.
They don't. There's a kind of competition thing going on. Why should I give you my secrets and all that stuff?
Sure.
And I was wondering how are certain things done and all that stuff. I told myself, if I ever make it in this business, in photography business, I'm going to turn the boat around and I'm going to teach and spill all the beans and tell everything what I know and trying to get something going on. And that is what Shoot the Centerfold is all about. It is about getting together photographers like yourself, Rick. We have Ari Freitag, we have Byron Newman from London, and new photographers are coming all the time, and that are established photographers to share their knowledge, because we can, and it's very important. I look at the images on Facebook, people's portfolios, submissions, everything, and I see what the flaws are, and I'm trying to help people to come together and help them to understand how you can do this the right way. I mean, clearly, I'm nobody to say, well, this is the right way. But
well,
you know what? Our track record speaks pretty well for
right.
ourselves.
Right.
And that's what's important.
Well, I have a question for both of you guys. On Facebook, you see these girls standing in front of a mirror with their camera phone taking a picture of them. And some of these girls are beautiful girls. Do they not have a friend that owns a camera?
You know, I think it's more a fascination type of a thing. Good morning. I look really good today. And iPhone is one of the things we can play with. I love iPhones. Great. Gizmo. And you look at yourself in the mirror as a woman. What does a woman do in the mirror in the morning? She looks in the mirror after she gets up. Oh, beautiful. I'm all in my new underwear. Oh, I look very nice. I look sleepy. I just woke up. Oh, let me take a picture. And she looks at it and she goes, what the hell? I'm going to put this in the Facebook. And it has become a kind of a trend. And some of the women are really good looking. But there's no photography. There's only one thing. It is a good looking amateur sexuality to it, which works on the Facebook and all that good stuff. It is a new world social media and gizmo photography. But let's be honest here. Is there really photography to it? No. Take the girl away and put that mirror there only. How does the picture look like? So there's two different things. Woman in the picture. Camera comes in two forms. No, camera comes in one form. It can be either copy machine or it can be a photography machine. You have to choose which of those things you're going to use. Because when you point a camera at something, is it an iPhone, is it a professional DSLR, whatever it is, you snap a picture of a good-looking woman, it'll always look good. But is there photography to it? You have to ask those questions of yourself and make sure that you start looking at, if you want to get into photography, you start looking at the pictures in a different way. But for Facebook, I mean, that's a trend. I mean, who doesn't like to look at the half-naked girls on the Facebook? Oh, I like it. I mean, every healthy man likes to look at them. Right?
That's right. Correct.
Go look at you boys all together. Say it again.
Okay, let's take another little break here. You brought up an interesting topic. We'll talk about it when we go offline. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me and Rick Moore and Yarmo. Well, I hope everybody's enjoying the show. This is Jeff Overturf and Kayla Ray Donahue. How you doing, Kayla?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Sun is up. It's a brand new day. You're telling me that you want to stay in this bed where it's warm to save and give the world the right away. There are so many things you want me to say to you. Like how I love you and never want to say goodbye, yeah. But you deserve better than for me to be untrue. Don't turn around, I'll be gone in the blink of an eye. Pick up the pieces of this broken night, head in hand and chin towards the sky. This is the last time we'll say goodbye.
Okay, we're back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo. One of the things that you were talking about before we got off the air a second ago, and I know this from personal experience, back in the day, I used to get a lot of photographs taken of me, professional photographs, versus just a friend taking a picture of me or setting up a camera and putting it on a timer. I mean, there's no comparison to what a professional photographer can do for your image and your look. That includes makeup, that includes lighting. And what advice do y'all have to give for these people that are on Facebook that are always using their camera phone? What kind of advice do you have to give them to get them to get those better shots for them to put on Facebook?
I think the first thing is find out where the light is coming from. If the light's coming from lamps and that kind of thing, turn into them so that you're facing them. You want the beauty light hitting you. If it's coming in through a window or through open shade on a patio, you want to turn into where the light is coming from so the light hits you. And the most important thing is nice, soft light hitting you. Yarmo?
Yeah, well, my recommendation for those girls is keep taking the images. Keep sending them to me. I like it. Because same time when they put them on Facebook, they submit them to the Playboy photographers and photographers that they want to work with.
Yeah.
Which is a great way of, seeing how this person really looks like. Because there's no Photoshop. These are amateur pictures.
Exactly.
But now here's the point that I really want to bring up. Don't go to the extreme. It is a message for all the girls. Don't go to the extreme. You know, a little underwear there and a bra. Don't get too ramsy about it because it's going to come down and haunt you in the future. Anything is on the internet, it will stay there forever, that we know. So, but the truth is this. If you are a woman, think about this. How come the top models don't do the same thing? How come we don't see any of those top models taking a snap in any pictures, any cha-cha-cha pictures and all the hoochie mama pictures and all the stuff that they post? How come not? Because they are doing the real photography and they're getting paid for it. So that's the difference, because there is future in photography if you got the right looks and you got a calling coming for you. And that is exactly, if you think you have what it takes to be a model, use it, not in Facebook, use it to get to the next level. Contact photographers that have credentials and see if you can get them to photograph you. You can post those pictures on Facebook and see what the people think about it. And trust me, even the big photographers, they go to Facebook and snoop around as well. And the companies, the modeling agencies, even the big bosses, they do the same thing. And Facebook has become one of the great information highways for modern visual world. I mean, there's a Twitter and all this stuff and all these social media things, which is a great way to share things around. But these camera photos and cell phone photos that are floating over there can lead into something. But I highly recommend take a step higher if you think you have the look. And make an effort to reach a little professional photographer.
Okay, but on that note, Let me throw in something really a hot potato here. What's your take on tattoos?
Tattoos? Well, Angelina Jolie, I love her with tattoos. But then again, Angelina Jolie is an actress. Soon as you put a tattoo on yourself, you become your own product. It is very important to remember. Let's pick up a Calvin Klein. They sell shirts, socks, dresses, jackets, or any other big brands out there. We need to remember that these people and clients want to sell their product. You are just a model and clothing hanger who makes their product look good. As soon as you got a tattoo hanging out of you, it's going to be no. They're not going to book you. Well, you can Photoshop it. Well, guess what? In video, you cannot Photoshop.
Yeah, this is something that just came up really big, is that a lot of the models, I think, have been under this perception like, well, it's okay, I can do the tattoo because of, Photoshop. And as we found out in Playboy, it became much more video heavy. You can't Photoshop tattoos out of video. They don't want to spend any kind of budget on that. And that's
it. I'm a videographer, and that, you know how many frames is? 30 frames a second. Okay, so that's that many frames that you have to touch. If it's 15 seconds, you're already in the hundreds and hundreds of frames. And so that's just the time that you have to spend to correct it.
Yeah,
and
another, it's not going to happen.
And Angela Jolie, she was famous and beautiful before she ever got her first tattoo.
Exactly.
So if these women think a tattoo is going to add to it, my theory is 200 years from now, they're going to dig everybody up. And the first question they're going to ask is, what tribe did all these people belong to? Look at all these people with all these tattoos. What club did they go to? I mean,
Exactly. And you know what? In today's world, it's a kind of a trend as well, cool thing for girls. But they don't think, if they want to be in modeling, you're supposed to be a beautiful canvas that the client gets to paint on, and meaning putting their clothes and swimsuits on, and not sell a brand that doesn't belong to the client. And that is something that the young people who want to be getting the modeling don't quite understand. And it's very sad in many ways. Personally, I do like some sexy woman with the sexy tattoos. And you know what? When I photograph a model, no.
Well, and you and I have ran into this where we get a submission from a girl that's 18 or 19, very new to everything, has a fantastic look, and has gone out and had angel wings tattooed on her back or a sleeve or her stomach. And it's like, it's not us. It's the editor that's hiring us that has told us there's no budget for retouching that, or we're going to have video and it can't be, and it makes you feel bad. It makes me feel bad to have to tell that girl no, because she's, really beautiful girl.
I've seen so many gorgeous women, and I go like, wow. And when they come to casting, I go, oh no, what is that butterfly between your chest? Oh, I can't believe it. So these are things that girls should really think about. Let's be honest here. If you want to shoot for Inc. magazine, great. They love you. But, most of the models do want to shoot, beauty, fashion, playboy, and who knows what. And in the commercial industry, it's just not flying. Simple as that.
So they may have a lot of models out there for Easy Rider magazine then.
A lot.
Yeah.
And some really great ones.
All right, let's take another little break here. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me with Rick Moore and Yarmo. Okay, we're back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore and Yarmo. When we were off for a second there, I just got an idea. I have known a lot of girls on Facebook and in general that are real popular, and they have a lot of people that want to get to know them, a lot of friends on their friends list. And I can imagine that they have this popularity, but relatively in a small pond, like just on their friends list, maybe their hometown. And some of the things that you were talking about a second ago, Yarmo, were very intriguing as far as, and you too, Rick, as far as information that you would give a girl that's not sure if they have what it takes to get to the next level, or as far as coaching them and teaching them. Give me a little bit of information about that, Yarmo, about how you use your experience to help these people get to the next level or understand if they have it or if they don't.
Well, first I would say you have to start somewhere, and that's always good. Do you have what it takes? It's another story. Everybody needs a fair shot at the business, and we can only coach people so much, and the nature has to step in and guides its way, because the looks matter actually a lot. Talking about popularity and popularity contests on Facebook and in your own communities, that's one thing. And in Facebook, when you post a picture of yourself and you're a female, I mean, everybody's going to love you. I mean, there's no doubts about it. That's the small pond where she's swimming. But let's talk about right now, the same goes for photographers. Everybody's going to love your picture. Oh, great, nice, I like the lighting. But Facebook is not the one that makes the decisions. It's the editors. It's the photo directors and who knows who. They make the directors that are the top in the business and visualizing business if you got what it takes. Because this is now the big part where you're going to be swimming.
And they're not as nice and as easygoing as fans on Facebook.
Oh, no. The fans on Facebook are going to be always nice, but the editors are not. I mean, I got my share of ass whooping from our director of photography many times and saying, what were you thinking? Blah, 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 blah. And the same goes for a model who's trying. Don't give up just because you got a little wrinkle on the road. Climb over, try again. But remember always, Facebook is good to boost your ego. But to get into real business, you have to reach a little bit higher and a quality level of photography. And it's not necessarily always about the skin either. Okay, God created woman to be beautiful. And if she's naked, everyone's going to love you. That is true. Depends what modeling type are you approaching is very, very important. If you want to go to World of Playboy, that works great if you got the looks. Hallelujah. However, you want to go to fashion, you have to make a decision from a day one. Are you going to go fashion or are you going to go Playboy? Because the fact, as soon as you go Playboy, fashion is not going to be looking at you perhaps as much as you would like. Because now you are branded as a Playboy model. And that will follow you quite a long time. Now, if you go to fashion, you're going to have to choose that path if you have that look. You can cross over as well. There's a lot of fashion models that have shot Playboy as well, but they were actually doing fashion first.
Right.
There's a kind of a different things and areas that you have to decide where you want to go. And, you know, when we're talking about big pawn here, coming out of the Facebook and go to the top fashion agencies, you're going to have to evaluate the situation very carefully, how you're going to approach them. And if you're going to take nudie pictures and you're going to take Facebook pictures, they may give an indication that you may have something there that somebody can photograph you and you may get a fair shot. Go to the fashion agents, you have to be tall, first of all. 5'7 is a requirement and taller.
There is a third area here, if I can jump in, and that's talent. And to do talent, you can be 5'3" or you can be 5'7" or you can be 5'11". But you have to have talent as an actress. You have to, it's not just having the talent, it's being coachable and getting that coaching. And we were just talking, Jeff and I, about a girl that we know here, and I was suggesting that she go get some acting classes. I think whether we're talking about photographers or models or actors, that coaching is all, it's really, really important. And I know for myself, you know, just having spent the week with you, in Miami, I just got back Monday night. It was really cool because it's not often I get to sit in another photographer's environment and observe and watch. And in a way, I was getting some coaching. You know, you do some things differently than I do them. And, you know, I have pretty much shunned Photoshop, whereas you've dove into it, you know, like an Adobe guru expert. And so, you know, getting being around that, and then it starts me thinking, okay, maybe I need to get some coaching on that. And I think the first thing is, are you coachable? Are you, you know, as a girl, if you want to go into one of these areas, are you coachable to get into that area? As a photographer, did you buy a camera and you're happy with buying that camera and you think that's all there is to it? Or are you coachable and do you want to try and get to a higher level? Whatever it is, you know, there's always that extra work that goes into it that you have to seek out. I think when I first started into things with a motorcycle, I didn't even know that coaching was available, which is why I flipped over backwards doing a wheelie. I would never do that now, and not wearing knee pads. I would never do that now. I look back and I'm like, what an idiot. So, you know, I've really found how important coaching is, and really looking at what you need to do, the things you need to put together, and anything I'm doing, like I'm starting to take flying lessons. Well, hello. That's some serious coaching before you go start.
That's some serious concentration, too.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Yeah.
A week before you were here, Rick, Playboy's longtime director of photography was here working with me. Gary Cole is the name. And you know, he brought an interesting point. He says, you know, Yarmo, he says, so many photographers send me portfolios, and I look at there's some beautiful pictures of models and all that stuff. But he said, I often consider those so-called lucky shots. Is there continuing, is there a flow that the photographer can carry? And can the photographer being coached to become somebody in the world of Playboy, because he's a director of photography in Playboy magazine? He was. So he said to me, a lot of photographers in Portugal, they have good shots, but they are not coachable to become somebody, something even better, become a master at their craft. Because they send them pictures in once or twice, and if they don't get booked and their pictures are not getting bought or published, they get an attitude. Well, I tried. That's it. They didn't want me.
Well, right.
For our director of photography, he said right away to me, he said to me, Gary Cole said to me, that's the biggest mistake a photographer can make. They should be listening with ears open. What can I do to become better on my craft? And Gary Cole, the director, is trying to explain them. And they are just, you know, I can't do that. That's expensive and this and that. You know, if you want something bad enough, you're going to educate yourself. I did that. I ate shit for 4 years before Playboy gave me keys of any sort. It was a little key they gave me after 4 years. I paid a lot of money out of my own pocket doing shoots and all kinds of stuff. And some of them I had to eat, which is fine. But, you know, I had the driving force and I felt that I want to be coached. I want to learn more. And I remember I was flown to the Playboy Studio West in Los Angeles. Man, did the doors open up wide open? Marilyn Kobaski, the editor that a lot of people thought that was tough. But you know what? She was one of the best editors Playboy ever have had. She was tough to work with, but she brought my level so high that there's no looking back. I go like, wow, unbelievable. I learned so much. I was coached by her to learn how to look at the things that I never even knew that you can look at that way. And I was like, wow. I remember she came in this pictorial one-shot shot. She says, okay, I want you to edit this pictorial. You've got an hour and a half. Come back to my office with the final edit. There I go to the light table. I'm editing this film and blah, 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 blah. I go there. She edits the whole thing, cursing me out at the same time in less than 1 minute. And it made all the sense in the world. And I started standing and looking at the pictures totally differently. I was coached. I was teached something that now that I look at it, I go like, how come I didn't educate myself to be able to see these things? And you know, for our other photographers and young photographers that are out there, they should be more open for possible education. Well, to be coached.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here. One is when Yarmo's explaining that he was coached by one of these editors, the coaching he's talking about was like getting hit in the side of the head with an iron skillet. I have some of those scathing emails, you know, that were sent to me. And I didn't even work with Marilyn because I was so afraid of her skillet. But this was not easy coaching. This was, you know, Yarmo has the ability to withstand 24-hour darkness, and I had a pretty thick skin as well. And I think, you know, we should probably go ahead and just plug shoot the centerfold in that we're giving friendly coaching. And then, you know, I see these seminars all the time that are like, Playboy style photograph, seminar, you know, $500 and this model. And it's, I'm looking at it like, well, why don't you just go to a real Playboy photographer and really learn? You know, and I think we probably have a gentler hand from being hit in the head by a skillet. You know, we don't, I don't want to do that to anybody. So I don't know. I know that's a bit of a plug, but it's just, it's the truth.
Yeah. And, you know, when I applaud every single photographer there who's trying to do something. But when they write Playboy style of a photographer and this and that, and look at the pictures, I still applaud them. But if you can see where the flaws are, and you've been coached to look at it, it gives you a feeling like, I want to call this guy and ask him to come to our seminar. And I really love all the photographers there that are willing to do something about their photography career and educate. And I'm trying so hard to make a lot of these photographers to understand, to realize, what does it take? And sometimes I realize I'm talking to a brick wall. I'm like, oh, gee, okay. But I cannot be mad about it either, or disappointed, because if somebody doesn't see it, how can you make things understood? You can take a horse to a pond, but you cannot make that horse drink.
I thought, you know, I was very impressed with Arnie's talk at the last one in Miami.
Yeah.
Because he had this whole talk on comparing lighting from famous paintings, and I had no idea he had that depth in art history. And he was showing his favorite Renoir paintings, showing how the light came around and wrapped, then showing a centerfold that he shot. I was like, man, I wish I could have had this class 20 years ago. You know, so it was like really awesome. But he was passionate because he was just trying really hard to get people to see light. And that's the whole key to it.
That is everything. When you look at an image, you look at the Swimsuit Sports Illustrated, it has a simpler lighting. Look at the Playboy, it might have a more complicated lighting. Photography industry has changed, less lights right now. But, you know, it's still light. And today, earlier, I was explaining to somebody as well, the most important thing, it's all around us and we are blind to see it.
That's a fact. You brought up something a second ago that sparked me. I've always considered myself to be a fairly creative person. And some of the things that, you know, and everybody said, well, how did you come up with that idea? And I said, well, I actually didn't. And I said, well, how did you know that? And I said, well, there's always these signs or signals that are out there. Yeah. And if you're open enough, they drop in every once in a while. And then you don't know where it's going to come from. But when it hits you, it hits you. And then it just like a chain reaction catches fire and it goes into other areas.
Exactly. And that is also the reason why we created the Shoot the Centerfold project. It's an educational PG-13 project to teach people, those people who want to learn, that we give our best and everything to these people and try to help them to get to the next place. And we have had a lot of good success. There's one guy who came 2.5 years ago to my office, just bought a camera, didn't even know how to turn it on, and he didn't know what the F-stops mean or nothing. He bought me for 2 years. Guess what? He's shooting one of the biggest campaigns in the United States today. He's shooting Victoria's Secret models. He just had Rihanna's campaign, was flown first class to Germany, shooting Victoria's Secret models. I mean, all this in the two and a half years. But you know what was good about this gentleman? It is that he listened to it. He was like a sponge. He didn't give in. He didn't. He wanted to know more. He wanted to learn and get to the next level.
This just isn't a story that Yarmo's coming up with. I met this gentleman, Morgan, right? And yeah. Super, super enthusiastic. Super, he was very humble, very happy to be there. And I'm looking at him going, wow, this guy is he's killing. He's doing fantastic. I need to watch how he's marketing himself. And so it's like also a thing where when somebody takes off, you can kind of watch that and go, okay, well, just, you know, everyone has some lessons to learn, and I can learn from this as well.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. It is the most rewarding. For me, it's the most rewarding to be able to see one of the students that we have, that we work close one-on-one sessions and stuff, takes off and does things like this in the world. It's like, wow, I can't believe we helped this guy to do this kind of thing. It's a huge, huge thank you. That's the way I feel. And we're working with several young photographers right now. I'm trying to develop them to get to the next level. And there's so much talent out there. But you know what the photographers' problems are? They are the most stubborn people you can run into.
Wait, they what?
They're really stubborn. Photographers are stubborn. Wildcards are stubborn. They don't want to hear it.
I'll vouch for Rick. I know he can be stubborn occasionally.
Oh, he is bullheaded.
But Rick holds himself back. In other words, like
he has a hairy chest. He
All right, let's take another little break here. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me and Rick Moore.
Just check it out.
Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here talking to Rick Moore and Yarmo. Yarmo, one of the things that I've noticed about your enthusiasm is your ability to be creative and then draw on just about anything. And Rick, he made a comment a second ago.
What?
You were talking about the ability to pick new stuff up.
Oh, you mean just being coachable or that you two both dive into it? Like, I've known you, Jeff, for many, many years before you really got into photography or videography, and you just throw yourself into it over and over again. The same with software, that sort of thing. And the week that I spent with Yarmo, it's like, you know, we're out shooting, and then he goes and gets in front of his three monitors and spends 8 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, here's even a better way to put it. Imagine you have your garage. Your garage, you know where your tools are. You don't even have to think about it. You know where your hammer is and your nails and your screwdriver, your drill, all of these tools. And you get into this zone and you just pick them up and you start hammering and pop, 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 pop. That's exactly the same thing happens in the photo sessions and photo sets. You don't have to think about the camera. It should be an invisible tool that you don't even know you're holding it because you're in a zone. You are holding the moment, not the camera. You shouldn't even be able, have to think about it because as soon as you start thinking about the camera, the lights and this and that, instead of learning how to look at the light, it's invisible, but you have to look at it and learn and feel it and be in that zone. That's when you start creating magic. But if you have to think about it too much, your efforts go actually to those things, well, about this and that. Automatically, when I'm going to set, I'm going like, oh, hold on a second. Hold on. I go there. My assistant's not even can capture my brain so fast. I'm already called up on the jail on that backlight and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Because it, you kind of feel, you see, it's there. Everything becomes invisible tool between you and the subject. And that's when you'll be able to fly. You get wings.
I think, you know, this is a really good metaphor for Jeff. He studied martial arts most of his life, and the wax on, the wax off kind of thing. In that a lot of people buy the camera, but they don't really realize how, you know, you really have to put some time into it. So with the wax on, wax off, the camera is a reflex, an instinct. You know, you and I aren't thinking about, oh, where's the aperture? I mean, we know, you know, in our sleep with one hand tied behind our back where the aperture is.
Exactly. And you know what? Here's another thing I want to say. People ask me, what camera do I like to shoot mostly? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. A lot of times I rented a camera based on the days. Now we're sponsored by Leica in the Super Center, so we use Leica cameras. But I used to rent the cameras and I pick up anything. Or just this, that, okay, that one. I never knew how to use them. But I never even have to think about it. I look for a second. Okay, that's that. Boom. Don't think about it.
Oh.
Look what you see through that gizmo with that camera. You need to look at it. You need to feel it. And when you get into that level that you can feel it without thinking what you're holding, that is when you got it. And you can actually bring out and jump into that zone and ride that wave. That's the magical wave that brings the stuff alive.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, but something...
Ben, I bet Jeff, you know too, because you're in the martial arts. You don't think it's going to be a low kick. It's automatic dance. It automatically comes over you.
You experience. That brings up an interesting point. It's like sometimes you can anticipate things before they happen.
Exactly.
And that's one thing that I picked up in martial arts. In other words, like you think, well, if I put this there and put that there, and if I do this, this is what's going to happen. This is what the response is going to be. This is what the reaction is going to be.
Exactly.
No, yeah, let's say you're fighting with me, Jeff. Hmm. You know, you have to anticipate that, right?
Yeah, it'd last 2 seconds.
But one thing I was gonna say, Yarmo,
I wouldn't have to think very long.
Yeah, see, Yarmo, you know, he was a drill sergeant. You were a martial artist. Okay, I've got a hairy chest. That's all I got here. But what I was gonna say is one of the things that kind of it irks me. I can't say it's a personal jab, but it irks me when I'm on a shoot. Somebody sees my camera. Of course, I have nice camera equipment. And they're like, "Oh, that's why you take such good pictures." And I'm just looking at them, going, "It has nothing to do." I mean, yes, I like this particular camera. That's why I own it.
That brings up something. You know, like Krista Frazier. You know Krista Frazier, don't you, Armo?
Yeah.
And she could wear a toe sack, and then people would be wanting to go, "Where did she get that toe sack? I have to buy one of those."
Yeah, that's why they call professional models as well, because whatever they wear, it looks great.
Right, exactly.
And for photographers, here's a good saying.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, y'all were just together this last week. I called Rick, you know, and y'all listened to the show and everything. Rick's show with Krista, and then the one before that with Rick, talking about photography and everything. What were y'all doing down in Miami as far as Shoot the Centerfold? Tell everybody a little bit about what the concept of Shoot the Centerfold is and what y'all did this last week.
Yarmo, why don't you cover what the concept is, and then I'll cover what we did.
Okay, Shoot the Centerfold, it is a PG-13 program for those who want to learn photography and how we were able to climb up on top of the world doing so. We teach beginners, amateurs completely, and advanced people. There's so many lighting techniques in the world. that even even experienced photographers don't always necessarily know all of them and how to use them to your best knowledge. We at the Shooter Centerfold are there for these people who care to know. We teach, we do photo seminars, we do about 2 to 4 photo seminars a year, per year, and people come together, we create our educational projects, and
there's a whole STC fan group that I haven't been so big on Facebook, but that whole group, they're very active, they're very supportive of each other, and this is all created from Shoot the Centerfold, which I remember talking with you about it in your office not that long ago, and bam, you know, it exists and it's thriving.
Yes, and we have a product that we sell, posing guides for people who want to learn about posing, how to pose your model. We have a lighting diagram books showing different lighting techniques, and we have some digital lighting diagrams and posing guides coming out very shortly as well, which is really, really good because we can actually lower the price and offer them for a wider market.
Yeah, so I was working on this lighting diagram book. Yarmo has his out, and you know, it's really funny because me, we all have a common background of being Playboy photographers, and specifically a lot of the people that want to go to Shoot the Centerfold, it's PG-13, there is no nudity, but they're wanting to learn the lighting techniques that all of us use. We all have our own lighting techniques to try and fulfill the Playboy style, and then we all do other things besides that. But people are really interested in how he did that, and so Yarmo had his book, and he was encouraging me to make mine. But I have to tell you, like, I really wanted to grab one of his books and take it upstairs and look through it, because there are shots that he did. That red couch shot with Hiromi is just a really great shot, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, how did he like that? Because we don't tell each other, you know, oh, this is how I lit this shot. And it really, really cool to see that. And so,
because your ego got in the way. You should have asked me.
That's probably right.
Exactly.
I'm never going to ask him.
Exactly what fights photographers have to deal with. A lot of photographers have, it's a little bit of ego type of a situation. Let your guards down. What you got to lose?
Well, also, you know, that is the part of being coachable. When I was an assistant, I was coachable and I was there to learn. But since then, it hasn't been until I became part of Shoot the Centerfold that I've really been in an environment where photographers are really sharing information again. And it's just that I happen to be one of those photographers sharing information. And working with Yarmo on these situations, we were just kind of going through, like, okay, I had a kind of a crappy day of cloudy stuff. How would I deal with that? This is a real life scenario, how Rick Moore deals with that to get this shot. And then having Yarmo there, I tell you, nobody can aim a reflector like Yarmo. Because as a top photographer, he knows exactly, what I'm looking for.
A lot of photographers wouldn't ever hold the reflector. They say, well, I'm a photographer. How, that's an assistant's job to hold the reflector. No, it's not.
No,
it's not. You know, we're all human. All the photographers, even the beginning photographers that are members of Shoot the Centerfold, we all equal in the end of the day. We eat, we go to sleep, and we should be one family and share the knowledge that we have, help each other in any possible way. I encourage all these photographers, give me a call if you got a question. I'll help you. I mean, it's like just a few days ago, a friend of mine who's a photographer as well, he shot Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton. And he had really poor choices on his lenses and all that stuff. He called me, and I was so happy to coach him and get him to get the right shot, and he sure did. It was a wonderful feeling. But everybody who wants to learn from somebody, it doesn't have to be us. You can ask from whoever you want. But ask. Take that first step and ask, because if you don't ask, the answer will always be no.
You know, this might be the most informative interview that I have ever done. And it's been fantastic. You know, Yarmo, your enthusiasm is off the hook. And you have a natural passion about you. And I have a similarity that way also. When I'm into something, there's nothing that I can't do. In other words, when I'm into it, I have no boundaries. I have no limits. It's just do. Don't think, just do.
Exactly. That is so right.
And we're going to have to end this interview, but we're going to have another one with you, I promise you.
And it's been a pleasure.
But this has been one, like I said, one of the most informative, enthusiastic interviews that I've ever done. And Rick's been great. I mean, you know, Rick is fantastic. I mean, he knows the right people. That would be you. He helped me with Christopher Frazier, you know, with that interview. It turned out great. And I really appreciate both of y'all being on my show. Yarmo, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, give everybody the information about how to get in contact with you on Shoot the Centerfold or by whatever means that you feel comfortable with.
Okay, go to website, www.shootthecenterfold.com, and send an email to us. There's a contact in the website, info@shootthecenterfold.com. And we are glad to help anybody, and we mean it. Yep.
That's fantastic. Rick, how about you, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and your expertise?
Yeah, it's rick@rickmoore.com. Also, you can contact me through Shoot the Centerfold. I've got a gallery up there as well. And I was going to say your enthusiasm, you know, it was something that I couldn't believe that Yarmo liked. He surprises me. Your enthusiasm for music. Yarmo likes country music.
Oh, when I know.
When we were listening to my show and the country music came on, Yarmo went crazy. And I'm like, wow. And I know that you have, you know, this a big enthusiasm for music as well. I was like, wow, that's really funny. Well,
it was a great country tune. And I tried to find out what it is.
No, that was
learned it. It's not been published yet. But
that was that was the country tune you're talking about is Jerry Audley. He's from Marble Falls, Texas here. Rolling On would be one of them, and Day by Day was the other one that he played. And then I've Been Loving You by Otis Redding. He did his version of that. And so there were quite a few songs. I'm just going by memory now, but we'll definitely get you hooked up with the right tunes.
That's great. You know, I don't necessarily listen to the country music, but when I hear it, it just grabs me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's like the Elvis Presley of country music, Jerry is. And he even talks like him. When I did an interview with him, I had to stop the interview. I said, has anybody ever told you you talk like Elvis Presley? He goes, well, yeah, everybody kind of tells me that. Nice. And he did that Elvis voice, and I said, man, that's amazing. All right, guys, well, we're going to wrap this up. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Rick Moore. We're talking to Yarmo.
WTFRadio.me, underground and over-the-top radio.